This morning we're going to, I think, wrap up this little mini-series that I've been doing as part of the big series. We've been doing a big series on presence and power. But in the midst of it, we have focused on this whole area of worshipper, warrior, king. And we have centered around the life of David, because he was all three of these aspects. And we see the success that that man made of his life. And Jesus is called the Son of David. That's huge. And I believe as New Testament believers that we can learn from the life of this man. And in the book of Revelation, we looked last week where it says in chapter 1 that God has made us kings and priests to our God. And often we focus on the whole aspect of being a priest. But God wants to also have us understand what it means to be a king. So we've been looking through at that. And the first thing that we've been talking about last week was living as kings. Was number one, we need to stand. If you want to be a king, you have to be able to stand and own who you are. And for many of us, that is a challenge. Number two, we need to be faithful where we are. I believe those two things are the starting point for us, and we spoke more about this last week. The message is up online if you want to follow it through in greater depth. That whole aspect of we need to be able to stand first as a king, as the person that God has made us to be. Most of us are running from the call of God on our life. You probably give a little nod to that one. Okay, the second aspect that we wanted to look at was walk. What does it mean to walk as a king? Well, I believe it means to do something with who you are. And the first aspect that we had a look at there was pick up a towel. It comes from where Jesus, when it says in John 13, that Jesus, knowing where he had come from, knowing where he was going, he knew that everything had been entrusted to him. That's huge. And he picked up a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. I believe one of the biggest traps is when we forget to serve. Bill Johnson says that we need to serve with the heart of a king and rule with the heart of a servant. And it's those two aspects working together that keeps our life centered on God and not going off the track. I said last week that the doorway to destiny is usually hidden in the hallway of serving. And we looked at the life of David last week, where he was already in the palace. He was there as a palace musician. And I'm sure that he thought he was on his way to the throne because he had already been anointed to be king. Now he was in playing his harp, sitting there in the king's palace, probably thinking, God's word is about to come to pass. Little did he know what it would look like to eventually walk towards the throne. But it says that he also went home and he would serve his father by feeding the sheep. He still maintained that heart of a servant. And then we see that in the midst of this, that he goes and his father says to him, I want you to run an errand for me. Again, I shared last week, he could so easily have said, you want me to do this? Why don't you get one of the other servants? Don't you know on the king's musician, but he didn't. He ran a simple errand for his father. And he did not know that in serving his father, that he would open a doorway to destiny. See, who's heard of David and Goliath? Most people. You ask out there, you'll be amazed. Most people have heard of David and Goliath. But very few know how David ended up there to be at the right place at the right time, to be that young man that took down Goliath, that was challenging a whole nation. He was positioned in the right place at the right time because he came with the heart of a servant. Would have been a good place to say amen. That's all right. David was criticized. He was told he couldn't. We'll be looking at the scripture in a few moments where his brothers criticized him again. But in the midst of it, I want you to see again his declaration of patience. If you bring up that scripture. Okay, 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And I believe on the inside of each and every one of us is a passion for something. And I believe being a king, being who God wants you to be in the fullness of your destiny, requires that we find that passion. David's passion was, we've got this guy, and I don't care how big he is, but he's challenging God, and he's challenging God's people. And I may be a kid, but I'm taking him out. See, what makes you angry? What makes you rise up on the inside? Find your passion. So that's what we covered last week. But we're going to move on from there. I told you I'd give you number three this week. So number one was stand. Number two was walk. And number three, we're going to find out, go back again, we need the scripture before, don't jump. Very nice verse. Are you lost, are you? Let's go back, Lynn. I need, please, 1 Samuel 17, verse 30. Okay. And he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. David did not back down, even when Big Brother said, "Who do you think you are? Go back to the sheep. You don't belong here." David turned and said the same thing to somebody else. He was asking about the battle. He was asking about what happens. He didn't let the passion on the inside of him die because of criticism and opposition. Friends, if you're going to be who God's made you to be, there's going to be somebody who doesn't like it. There's going to be somebody who says you're getting too big for your boots. There's going to be somebody who says, "You can't do that." It's going to be somebody who says, "You're the wrong personality. You're the wrong gender. You're too old." Anybody heard words like that here this morning? I assume that's an affirmative. Next slide. Number one, stand. Number two, walk. Number three, talk. If you want to fulfill the destiny that God's got for you, you have to learn to talk. You have to learn to talk to yourself. You have to learn to talk back to the criticism, to the opposition, to all the lies that will come against you and say, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? God wouldn't do that through you. We have to learn to talk. Let's go to the next scripture. Same chapter, very next verse. Now when the words which David spoke were heard. Now when the words which David spoke were heard. How did David end up standing in front of Goliath? Because his words went there before he went there. How are you going to take down that giant in your life that's defied you and your family for generations? Your words are going to have to go there first. You're going to have to learn to talk as a king if you want to live as a king. Let's go to our next scripture, Lynn. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Words frame worlds. We are each framing our own world by the words that we speak or the words that we hear. How many times are we hearing words within our own head? John spoke earlier about when he went through a dark time in his life and he was saying, you're a failure, you're hopeless, you can't do this, you're no good. So even if nobody else hears your words, you hear your words. You hear the words of your heart all the time. And by your words, you are building the framework of the world that you live in. And the sad reality is that there are many Christians who are living in mud huts, rotten boards, smelly trash on the floor. Why? Because they're using the wrong words. They're speaking lack, they're speaking poverty, they're speaking disappointment, they're speaking angry words, they're speaking all the things that build trash into their life, and they don't want to live in their life, and nobody else wants to come to visit. How's the framing of your world going? Are you speaking as a king or as a pauper? Let's take this one step further, which this verse does. It talks about the word of God framing. If you want something to last for eternity, don't use the words of earth, use the words of heaven. We get to choose the words that we will use to shape our life and the life of our children and our children's children. We get to frame our world. I don't know if you've seen houses being built, but they put up the frame, and the frame dictates what can be attached. What's that house going to look like? The dimensions of that house. Build your frame. Build it strong. Build it big. Because God wants to do something big through you. Again, another good place to have said amen. I believe it's Graham Cook that said this, grumbling and complaining are the language of hell. What are we building? What are we framing? See, the heart of a worshipper, and I've been hitting this for weeks now, about being a worshipper, a warrior, and a king. A worshipper knows what it is to take words, thanksgiving, praise, worship, to direct those at God and direct them at your heart. See, every time you choose to pick up thanksgiving, and John spoke on thanksgiving this morning, what you are doing is you are changing you. You're changing your heart. You're changing your world. You are taking words and you are framing who you are. And you are making your life something glorious. Why? Because you are using your words to do that. If you want to live as a king, start by being a worshipper. Know what it is to worship him. Know what it is to give thanks when everything on the inside of you is wanting to complain and moan or listen to those lies. Be a worshipper. Be a warrior. What is a warrior? A warrior is somebody who picks up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and says, I'm not going to put up with that in my life. I'm going to fight against that. I'm going to stand against that. That is not coming against our family. That is not going to destroy what God said we are. I'm glad I've got somebody. You and I will preach together this morning. Be a worshipper, be a warrior, and be a king. Use your words to build your future, because you've got a future and you're the one who determines what it looks like. So talk, number one. Frame your world. Let's look at the next one. Create your future. Saddens me when I have people come to me and I hear them say things like, yeah, I had this prophetic word once that I'd be such and such, or such and such would happen in my life. And I can hear the unspoken words on the inside saying something like, well, I'm not sure if I'll ever get to see it. And what it always reminds me of is somebody picking up a travel brochure and looking at it and going, oh, doesn't that look awesome? Wouldn't it be nice to visit there? And putting down the travel brochure. When God speaks a prophetic word to you, he is not describing where you are at. He's not giving you a travel brochure so you can go, oh, isn't that pretty? I wonder if I will go there one day. What he is doing is he is giving you a packet of seeds with a picture on the front so that you take those words and you say, God, that's what I want in my life. And you take those words and you plant those words into your life. Book of Timothy says, rage warfare with the promises that have been given to you. God doesn't waste his words. If he gave you a prophetic word, chances are you might need that to fight with. Don't say, oh, well, that was nice. I'll put that in my folder along with the 200 other ones that I've got. And occasionally I'll read through and go, wow, look what God said. Look what God, oh, wow, look what God said. God's saying, yeah, I said it, now will you say it? Will you say what I say? If we want to be effective in the earth, folks, we've got to look at how we talk. We've got to look at the words we say. Let's have that scripture. Isaiah 51:16. And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. God has put his words in your mouth. In other words, he has given you a prophetic word. He has given you promises in the book. But folks, they won't do you any good as long as they stay in the book. It's not the words in the book that will change you, it's the words in your mouth. It's a packet of seeds where you plant it. It says here, that I may plant the heavens. What does that mean? Means every time we take a promise from the Word of God, or we take an aspect of a prophetic word and we start to say it, what we are doing is we are sowing that into the heavens. We are planting into the realm of the Spirit, and when we sow to the Spirit, we will reap from the Spirit. It says that I may plant the heavens and then lay the foundations of the earth. That lay the foundations means establish. We're looking to establish things on the earth in our life, but we haven't sowed to the heavens first, and we're wondering why it's not happening. We're saying, God, you said that one day I would do this and I would do that. And I believe the heart of the Father is going, but son, are you saying what I'm saying? Have you sowed my word? Or are you just looking at a pretty packet of seeds? Going, oh, that's nice. Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. What are you sowing into the heavens? Are you talking it? Are you saying what God says about your destiny? Are you saying what he says about the call that's on you? Because as you do, you are sowing that into the realm of the Spirit, and it will manifest in the now. You will see it in the earth. You will see it established. And it says, and say to Zion, you are my people. Final aspect I want to have a look at is this whole aspect of release. Because I believe it's not just words. We saw there in Isaiah where it says, and you will say to my people, you will say to Zion. I believe God wants us to be able to release words, but I believe he also wants us to be able to release heart. To release what it is that he has given us to carry. And I believe that these are four aspects of being a king that we need to lay hold of, because God is looking for kings that will influence the earth, that will take what they carry and they will release it to others. Folks, we live on an orphaned planet with people who do not know how much God loves them. And God is looking for kings that will release his heart. Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. I believe God wants to raise his people up so that they can have the power that they have been crying out for. How many in the body of Christ have been crying out for more? God, we want to see more miracles. Lord, we want to see more healings. God, we want to see more of this. Lord, we want to see more salvations. We want to see more. And God is saying, I want to have kings who I can release in the earth, because where the word of a king is, there is power. when people who know their God get up and they look at sickness and they say, go in Jesus' name. That is the word of a king, and it carries power. And God wants us to be able to walk in that. Next part of the verse. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Two aspects here I want to bring out for you. Number one is that when the word of a king is released, things happen. Things happen and people can't stop it. God wants to so impact this world. The promise in the word is that the glory of God will cover the earth. So what does cover the sea? And when kings rise in the knowledge of who they are, what they are called to, and they release what God has given them to release, we will see the glory of God released on this earth in an incredible measure. But there is a second aspect to this. It is a question. And who may say to him, what are you doing? And I believe it's this aspect of being a king that has the Lord hold back so many of us. Because what it is also asking is who can correct a king? Time and time again, you see those that God has raised up as kings. People who have become prominent, not only in the body of Christ, but also in the world in different areas. But because of the influence they have carried, because of the power that they have had, because of the money that has passed through their hands, because of the influence, they have become like Solomon. And they have not ended well. Why? Because nobody could say, what are you doing? Because they thought they were above it. Says of Solomon, when God came to him in a dream, that he says, I'm but a child. How can I lead these people? How can I be a king? And God gave him wisdom and helped him rule. But by the end of his reign, he was saying, I will do what I want to do. And he was the man who wrote these words. And who can say to him, what are you doing? No one was able to challenge that man. I don't know about you, but I've seen too many Christians who have sought God, cried out for God, and God has blessed them in amazing ways. They've been blessed with finance. They've been blessed with influence. They've been blessed with whatever they have asked God for. And they've lost it all. Because their heart came lifted up. And nobody could correct them. And many tried. And I don't think I'm the only person in the room that can think of people like that. Are you asking for God to use you? I hope so. Because God wants to use his body. He wants to raise up kings in this earth. But I believe he also wants to raise up those who are his sons. Those that will walk with that heart connection. Those who are worshippers and warriors. Those that he can entrust to walk with what he has for them. So I want to close by, we'll throw up, put up Job 2, the next scripture. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. God wants us to be powerful, even more than we want to be. God wants to answer your prayer even more than you want it answered. But I believe he's preparing us to be able to walk in what it is that he has called us to. So let's finish with these four things. Stand. Stand in your identity. Walk. Walk even in humility. Talk. Shape your world with your words. Because when God releases you into the fullness of what he has for you, your words will be powerful. Learn to steward them well now. Number four, release. Release what you carry, because there is a world waiting who needs what you have. Let's pray. Father, I sense that cry in your heart that says, who will go for us? Whom can I send? Lord, that cry to touch cities, that cry to touch areas of education and finance and politics and Hollywood, Lord, every aspect of this planet, Lord, you look at and you long to be able to send your people there, that they will make a difference, that they will turn spheres, that they will turn nations, they will turn hearts. Lord, you long for people who will go out and release your love and your goodness into this planet who was crying out for the revealing of the sons of God. Father, prepare us so that we can walk as your sons and your daughters. Lord, with a heart of worship, so our heart is secure in you. So our heart, Lord, does not wander. It's not snared by the very blessing that you have poured out on us. Lord, the heart of a warrior that says, I will not bow to the lies of the devil. And the heart of a king that says, Lord, you've put me here to release something precious into this earth. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for raising up kings who can walk well before you and before man. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen.